from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
But these lowlifes for Trump.
They lied under oath.
Who lied under oath? What are you telling me? Excuse me? They lied under oath? What are you saying? They're traitors. I don't even know how to deal with you, my friend. I don't even know how to deal with you.
All right. Hello, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Hope you had an incredible Memorial Day weekend, and it is great to be back in our broadcast studios here in Memphis, Tennessee. That was the voice of Robert De Niro, who literally thinks he is now a gangsta thug. And De Niro out there in front of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan as one of the official Democrat political pundits. And the guy is completely unhinged. We're going to play a lot of audio from De Niro. Not a lot, because most of it is incredibly profane. And there were a couple of moments when De Niro, who hates Donald Trump, and this guy is a lowlife. This guy, De Niro, is lowlife scum. This guy is, he's a tiny little old man. He has no original thought in his brain, and he literally had to have somebody write out what he wanted to say. He thinks he's like, he really does think he's like a good fella. I mean, this is Robert De Niro. He thinks, you know, that's the only role he can really play is a gangster thug. Going back to the Godfather movies, this is Robert De Niro. So anyway, he's out there, and the Democrats have decided to borrow a page from Donald Trump. And they have set up some sort of a media scrum outside of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan. Now, final arguments, closing arguments underway, and the jury could possibly get this case by the end of the day. If that happens, we could probably get a verdict as early as tomorrow. And De Niro is just he's unglued, this guy. So cut 23.
Under Trump, this kind of government will perish from the earth. I don't mean to scare you. No, wait. Maybe I do mean to scare you.
It's all written down for
it. If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye that we all take for granted. And elections, forget about it. That's over. That's done. If he gets in, I can tell you right now, he will never leave. He will never leave. You know that. He will never leave.
All right. Where is he getting this? There's the only people who are saying this are the Democrats. Trump's never said this. So we're going to get to some comments from President Trump in just a little while. But you need to understand that, ladies and gentlemen, what we have watched unfold in New York City over the past, multiple weeks now, is a great example of the weaponization of the judiciary. This is what they call lawfare. They are literally, and by they, this is Joe Biden. Joe Biden is literally attempting to throw his political opponent into prison. This is what happens in third world countries. And now it's happening right here in the United States of America. So we're going to get into this today. I have a very simple question for you, ladies and gentlemen. If the president is convicted, and there's a pretty good chance that's going to happen. I mean, the whole trial is a sham. It's a kangaroo court. You've got the judge, Juan Merchan, who is giving money to Joe Biden. His daughter is a rabid Democrat political operative. You've got the jury, all of whom rely on the New York Times as their news source, that coming from the jury itself. So you know the president is not getting a fair shake here at all. So my question is, let's just say the guy gets convicted. Are you still going to support Donald Trump? Does this actually make you more likely to get out and vote on Election Day? Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls on this today. Do you still support the president, and will you still support the president if, in fact, he is found guilty of some sort of a case here. I mean, this is just bonkers. By the way, here's President Trump, cut 14.
But look, I think going to the Libertarian Convention was smart. According to
Gallup, hold on. So my apology. Cut number 15.
Make no mistake about it. I'm here because of crooked Joe Biden, the worst president in the history of our country, is destroying our country. This country is being destroyed rapidly, not slowly, rapidly. On the borders, on energy, on inflation, on everything you can name. Afghanistan removal, everything about what he's done. He's destroying our country. And he's also destroying it with weaponization. And this is purely his weaponization.
It's true. It's true. And I feel bad for this man. By the way, over the weekend, President Trump showed up at the Libertarian National Convention. Dear Lord, what if you identified as a libertarian up to this weekend, you need to renounce that affiliation. I mean, that was insane. By the way, I heard from sources inside the room that it was the smell, the odor inside the Libertarian Convention was unbearable. Not even Febreze could have put a dent in that musky odor. So anyway, Trump goes out there, and, you know, the media, they're saying, well, you know, Trump, he was booed, he was heckled, as if this is a bad thing. It is not a bad thing. This is a great thing. As a matter of fact, Donald Trump should be commended for going into enemy territory. I mean, they hated Donald Trump, but he still went out there and he wants their vote. I guarantee if they would have invited Donald Trump to the Democrat convention, he would have showed up. No doubt about it. So look, here's President Trump, and you got to love this guy. I mean, they are booing and heckling, and Trump is just standing up there, and he is loaded for bear. Let's listen to cut 7.
Think of this. First time in U.S. history that a presidential candidate of a rival party will address the convention of a party that is presumably gathering to nominate its own candidate. Now I think you should nominate me or at least vote for me, and we should win together. You heard those words. Nominate me or vote. Vote for me. Because the libertarians want to vote for me, and most of them will. And it's very important. Because we have to get rid of the worst president in history. And together we will. And without it, there's a risk that we could have 4 more years, we won't have a country left. So what is the purpose of the Libertarian Party getting 3%? What is the reason to take a chance of having this horrible president destroy our country, which he will do in far less than 4 years? It's not going to take 4 years. That is why I'm committing to you tonight that I will put a libertarian in my cabinet and also libertarians in senior posts.
All right, there you go. They just went on and on, and Trump didn't care. He just said what he had to say, and he's right. They can either support him or they can keep getting their 2 to 3% of the vote. I didn't even think it's going to be that much. I mean, the guy they eventually nominated, so they rejected Trump. RFK was not there. So they decided to go with some sort of a gay dude who is pro-transgender surgery, pro-open borders, and apparently is a communist from the information I've been reading on social media. So I'm just curious, all of you libertarians out there, what the heck is going on there? What is wrong with your party? Here is very well-known and popular libertarian Dave Smith, cut number 8.
Hey, there are members of the Libertarian Party, and there are people who came here to support Donald Trump. Listen, I have a message for both of you individually. I hear you. To the members of the Libertarian Party, which I am also one. Guys, listen, here's my message to the libertarians here. The former president of the United States of America and the current frontrunner to be the next president is here to talk to you. We are not a bunch of college leftist sissies. We believe in free speech. So be respectful. I'm not telling you you have to agree with him, and I'm not telling you you have to cheer for him. But we're not having a, like, Jordan Peterson at Berkeley event here. And the message we're sending to the world is not that we can't handle ideas that we disagree with.
Well, okay, that's good, but the problem is nobody actually believed that in the audience. And again, the smelly audience. And then there was this guy. You have a fella by the name of James Weeks, and this happened before Trump got up on the stage. Some guy who was running to be chairman of the Libertarian Party jumped up on the stage and started stripping off his clothes on live television. I mean, the guy was... getting buck naked, almost. He had some sort of a thong, if you will. It's terrible. May I just, as an aside here, I have a question. You know, I've seen a lot of these stories. You know, you've got the really fat people that are going out there and they're shedding their clothes. They're all at the nudist colonies, or I don't know, a Hillary Clinton rally, and or in this case, the libertarians, and they always, you know, shed their clothes. Why is it that all of the people who get naked in public are people who should not be getting naked in public? Why is that? Has anybody ever wondered why that is? I mean, it's not that. I mean, no offense here, but if you have fat, if you have rolls of fat and blubber, you probably don't need to be taking off your shirt. I'm just saying, have a little bit of decorum. But have you noticed, though, that all of the good-looking people, like, the Sports Illustrated swimsuit models, before they started putting bikinis on beached whales, back when the women were good looking. Why are those are the people? Again, I'm not advocating for public nudity here, but if you're going to get buck naked, you may as well be, you know, I don't know, what's the phrase? Easy on the eyes. I'm just asking. Anyway, we got a lot to talk about, a lot happening over the weekend. Trump going to Charlotte, the Motor Speedway. We'll have to recap what happened over at the North Carolina Republican State Convention. I was a keynote speaker there. And we're going to be taking your calls again, 901-260-5926. That number again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Thanks to the good people at American Hartford Gold, I'm able to bring you this urgent message. Inflation is on the rise again. The dollar is in danger of collapse, and an overheated stock market could crash at any time. The upcoming election is only adding to the chaos. That's why you should contact the good folks at American Hartford Gold to help you safeguard your financial future with physical gold and silver. You can diversify your savings with precious metals delivered right to your door or in a tax-advantaged gold IRA. Protect your retirement from a collapsing dollar and crashing stock prices. Call 855-913-1133 or text Todd to 65532 today for a free gold and silver informational kit. And if you call now, they'll send you up to $15,000 of free silver on qualifying purchases. Gold has hit record highs and keeps climbing. So call 855-913-1133 or text Todd now to 65532 for your free informational kit today. So here's the deal, and here's how this is going to play out. The jury will get the case more than likely sometime this evening, sometime this afternoon, and then they will begin the deliberation process. Now, the thought process is that this will happen sometime tomorrow. I mean, we could, as early as tomorrow, we could get some sort of a verdict. All it takes, though, all it takes is one juror. Because everything has to be unanimous. So it only takes one to say, nope, not going to go down that path. And then Trump, it's a hung jury, and Trump gets off. And at that point, Fat Alvin and his gang will have to determine whether or not they want to actually retry the president. However, there is most... The wise money here is that Trump is going to be convicted. And I say that in the lead up to this news alert, CBS News now reporting that the Secret Service has met with local jail officials in New York to discuss preparations for President Trump to go behind bars. Now, the question is, will they immediately take Trump into custody? Will the judge, and that is really the judge's discretion here. So the judge could just say, you know what, we're putting this guy in jail and it's going to happen right now. If they do that, Donald Trump wins this election in a landslide. But I'm just curious, do you have concerns that America First, MAGA patriots will take to the streets if President Trump is in fact jailed? And I will say this, it's really heartbreaking to see what this president is going through. And I know a lot of you are so frustrated over this. And I saw a lot of your comments on our live stream. David says if Trump is convicted, the Democrats will be insufferable. They'll be dancing in the street. We will never hear the end of it. That's true. Don says, I would vote for a rock before I vote for the current resident of the White House. He is an absolute train wreck. How many of you out there believe he will be convicted? This is coming from Robert. And if so, on what charge? 30 plus charges the president is facing. But I'm telling you, it doesn't really matter. This is all about getting this entire disgusting, un-American episode has all been about getting Trump convicted. Facts be damned. That's what this is really all about. And the idea that Donald John Trump, a man who has done so much for this great country, a man who has done so much for the people of this country, could somehow wind up at Rikers Island in New York City is repulsive. And I will say this, all bets will be off if that happens. People are fed up. They're tired. They're disgusted. And at some point, you can only push a man so far. You can only push a group of people so far before that group of people begins to push back. And that could happen. And it's all understandable. I mean, it really is. When you look at what the deep state has been up to and the FBI, look, President Biden over the weekend when he was addressing West Point graduates, and he strongly insinuated that he would call out the military against Donald Trump. Oh, by the way, Biden is going to be holding a White House address regardless of the outcome of the trial. So the Democrats are trying to turn this into some sort of a J6 do-over. And so they prepared speeches for Biden, whether Trump gets off or Trump is found guilty and is sent to prison. And the way things are going right now, Democrats, there's a great story in Politico. We'll get to it a little bit later on. An amazing story in Politico. Democrats are freaking out right now because they know that Biden's not going to be able to go the distance. As a matter of fact, there's new polling data out that pits Kamala Harris up against Donald Trump. And Trump is beating her worse than he's beating Biden. But the Democrats are freaking out and they don't know what to do. They can't get rid of Joe. He won't go. And he's got dirt on everybody. So that's why he's not going. And so now they're really trying to figure out a way to stop Donald Trump. In their minds, if Trump is indeed found guilty here, this could be the way out for the Democrats. To put him behind bars for good. All right, we got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. And I have to say, what a great trip to North Carolina. We met so many of our great, great friends and listeners, all patriots from Asheville, North Carolina, all the way to Greensboro and everywhere in between. Had some a great time meeting all of our listeners over at WSIC in Statesville, North Carolina, also WSJS, and then went to the homeschool. There was a big homeschool convention. And we wrap things up over in Greensboro at the North Carolina Republican Party Convention, the state convention. And I have to say, such a great reception there. Had hundreds of people, almost 1,000 people turned out for the prayer breakfast, which is where I spoke, and we ran out of books. So my apologies. We're getting those. I know a lot of people were disappointed, but we're gonna try to make up for that. But just bear with us, but it was such a wonderful trip. Coming up next, we're going to be heading to Waterloo, Iowa. We'll be telling you more about that in the next couple of weeks or so. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. But I'm telling you, folks, the ultimate goal here with this trial is to send President Trump to prison. That's what they want. And I think for a lot of folks who really didn't think this was an actual, you know, that this was a possibility, people are beginning to wake up now. And I hate that for you, because this has, we've been trying to prepare you on this program for that eventuality. I pray to Almighty God it does not happen. I truly do. But it will take a miracle. It will take a miracle to keep President Trump out of prison. It'll take a miracle to get him cleared of all these charges. Now, the evidence is very clear. The president has done nothing wrong at all, but that doesn't matter. This is all about politics now. And the Democrats have painted this vision of Donald Trump as some sort of an Adolf Hitler, when in fact they are the ones behaving like Hitler. That's what's really going on here. And people are right now in the Democrat Party, they are very dangerous because they are cornered. They know that Joe Biden has absolutely no shot of winning in 2024. None whatsoever. And so now they are fighting back fiercely and ferociously. President Trump, I'm telling you, folks, he is a good and decent man. I have met this man. He has been a guest on this program many, many times over the years, and he is a good person. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Interesting story out of St. Petersburg, Florida, where a manhunt is underway after a motorist left tire marks on a gay pride mural. Have you seen these things that they call them crosswalks or roundabouts? And a lot of people may not realize this, but I know what this is really all about. And we have one of these gay crosswalks in Memphis, Tennessee, and I intentionally do not walk on it. And the reason why is because they can accuse you of committing a hate crime. Only gay people are allowed to use the homosexual crosswalk. So if you're a heterosexual, you're screwed. You can't use that crosswalk. Anyway, somebody in St. Petersburg, Florida, left some tire marks on the roundabout, which, by the way, is for cars. You know, the cars drive around the roundabout. Cut number one.
Police are searching for the driver caught doing donuts, damaging the Progressive Pride street mural.
Just after 2:40 Wednesday morning, a vehicle is caught on a security camera doing donuts, damaging a Pride mural on Central Avenue in St. Petersburg. Tire marks still visible on the street.
My reaction is disappointment, not surprise. I think anytime we're in a situation where we have public displays of Pride, our authentic selves, people are going to have a reaction to it.
Dr. Byron Green Collish is president of St. Pete Pride. He feels someone targeted the mural. He says the mural is visual representation that everyone is welcomed here.
The mural is really a public love letter to the residents of St. Pete. Being able to collaborate with the city and other Pride organizations here in the city really feels like love and home.
St. Pete police say over the past week, two different vehicles have left tire marks on the mural, one where a driver accelerated on Friday, May 17th at around 9:30 in the morning. The second incident, that vehicle doing donuts. Officers do not believe the two cases are connected. Mayor Ken Welch posted on Instagram saying, in light of the recent vandalism targeting the Progressive Pride flag mural, there is no place for hate in St. Petersburg.
All right. Well, thank you for that report. So the mayor actually went on to say that what happened on that mural is a hate crime. Well, okay. But, you know, they do the, what did she call it? She doesn't call them donuts. They're the donuts. The donuts. They're doing the donuts in the road. Okay. Well, they do that all the time here in Memphis. But I'm just curious here. Does there need to be some sort of an ordinance on the books banning heterosexual motorists and pedestrians from using the gay pride crosswalks? Is that what needs to happen here? The mayor says, and the police department as well, they are searching for whoever did this, and they will be brought to justice. There is literally a manhunt underway right now for somebody who left a tire mark on a gay pride mural, which was literally painted on a road, which is meant for cars and cars that drive on wheels. So I have a question here. Was that the wisest thing to do? I mean, seriously. I mean, because it just, you really, it confuses people. Am I supposed to walk on this or salute it? Or am I supposed to drop my pants and bend over and give it the, you know, one up the wazoo? What do we do? So here's my thought, and this is just a suggestion, and that's what we do here on the Todd Starnes radio program. We offer suggestions. You know those bathrooms in the parks, right? So why not just, you know how they have like the partitions in between the toilets? Why not just the ones with the, why not just paint those the rainbow colors? Why don't we turn the park bathrooms into LGBT monuments? Right? It's like nobody's, you're not going to get any tire marks there. Well, you might get some tread marks, but you're not going to get any tire marks on the bathrooms in the parks, right? So what a great idea. So maybe over in St. Petersburg, Florida, instead of having to worry about whether or not a car that's peeling out might somehow leave a gay hate crime mark on the pavement, they could just simply celebrate the LGBT agenda right there in the bathrooms in city parks in St. Petersburg, Florida. I think that's a terrific idea. Oh, by the way, Walmart has now announced that they're going to go gay. This is a fascinating story. Dylan, do we have the report? Do we have the audio here from Walmart? All right, so Walmart has decided that instead of like shirking away from Gay Pride Month, which is a month-long celebration of transgenderism and preferred pronouns and buttless leather chaps, instead of shirking away from that, they're going to embrace it. Walmart's going all in. Now, Target announced last week that they're only going to be celebrating gay pride in some select stores around the nation, but they got in big trouble last year, the big boycott, because they were offering the transgender bathing suits and all that whatnot. So Target said, Yeah, you know what? We've had enough of this. And so did Bud Light, by the way. Remember Dylan Mulvaney? And you got Dylan Mulvaney out there, and he's the guy that thinks he's an ugly girl. And Mulvaney is out there, and it's caused all sorts of chaos, pretty much all but destroyed the Bud Light brand. I'm not sure they're ever going to be able to come back from that. So anyway, Walmart says, yeah, you know, we got no problem with this. We are going to embrace our inner LGBT. And so they released a series of videos. There's a video up on the Walmart Instagram. And in this video, all of these gay activists and designers are talking about all the various products that are going to be sold at Walmart during Gay Pride Month, including something called gay tote bags. So you can tote a gay. I've never heard of such a thing, and I'm not sure what that means. But they also are offering an entire line of baby clothes, onesies, that have messages like, I love my two mommies. You can't make this stuff up. So anyway, Walmart says that they're all about celebrating gay pride, and they believe that the customers, that you, the people who shop at Walmart, should be supporting the alphabet activist. By the way, Wells Fargo, Levi Strauss, they say they, too, are not going to scale back LGBT celebrations. Oh, there you go. Let's take a listen.
Always, I feel like it's not just a slogan. It's that sense of community at the end of the day. I'm really, really grateful to Walmart for giving me this opportunity to spread a little bit of happiness.
While I was creating my collection, it was important to me for it to be positive and uplifting.
Choosing a favorite piece is sort of like choosing a favorite child. Feels a little unfair.
I think Queer and Eerie, which is the skulls with the rainbows, that's my favorite.
It's the You Matter journal. The self-reflection is important to be able to write into paper.
The fanny pack that says I Heart Gay People.
The pink apron. I'm very excited to use it with my kids in my kitchen.
Totes Gay just really tickles me. I love a pun.
The picnic blanket.
Yeah.
I think the pool floaty is what got me.
The pool float.
It's so good.
I was like, what?
I'm amazed at the artistic talent that I'm surrounded by. I think it's all really exciting to be a part of.
All right. So there you go. A little taste of the gay merch that's going to be sold by Walmart. What did he say about the tote bag? His tote bag tickles him. Okay, that's nice. Oh, what? By the way, yes, no, this is not the Babylon Bee. Walmart is also going to sell gay fanny packs. Don't ask. We're not going to go there. We're not doing that. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jerry in Arkansas. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Todd, good morning, sir. You asked if we were concerned that MAGA / America First would take to the streets if there was a conviction or a jailing. Are you concerned about that? Because, frankly, I'm more concerned that we won't take to the streets if those events go down.
So you think that we should be getting out there, that we, if Trump is found guilty, that we ought to take to the streets?
Absolutely.
What do you think we ought to do in those streets?
I'm afraid to peacefully protest. And if anyone gets in our faces, well, we'll just have to see. But, you know, we should peacefully protest.
Yeah,
the problem with us is, you know, we have jobs and classes and families to support and go to. We don't have time to sit around and wait on the phone to ring for some organizer, see if they can put us on a bus to haul us to the nearest protest.
It is interesting, Jerry, when you look back at the George Floyd riots, where cities were burned down, blocks of cities were destroyed, and the Democrats believe those were peaceful protests. Then you turn around and look at what happened on J6, and all hell breaks loose with the Democrats. I'm with you. I don't necessarily have a problem with folks getting out there and marching. It has to be peaceful. And to your point, you know, we are all law abiding citizens, but we will not be tread upon, as the flag says.
There you go. Hey, real quick, and God bless Trump's Secret Service detail. I know they've got a lot on their plate, but I hope they're on heightened alert tomorrow when De Niro shows up at the courthouse with a fresh mohawk and a military field jacket that says Bickle on the front of it.
Oh, dear. That's... Jerry, thank you for that. Look, it's yes, Trump's team is on high alert, and there are some grave concerns about the threats that are being directed at President Trump. So, folks, Jerry from Arkansas says he's more concerned that the America First crowd will not be marching in the streets. Do you share that concern? Do you believe that we ought to be in the streets if they find Trump guilty in this sham trial? Should we take to the streets? 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
We're experiencing instability at every level. Our government lacks leadership, and Bidenomics has been a disaster. The economy is in a fragile state. Inflation has been a consistent issue. High interest rates have put significant pressure on the real estate market. There have been major bank failures, and many analysts say a stock market correction is likely overdue. We have global conflicts in Europe and the Middle East that have the potential to spread, but gold has soared to record highs even amidst the tensions. There are so many reasons that Americans should consider investments in gold and silver, and Legacy Precious Metals is the gold standard. I love Legacy Precious Metals because of their zero-hassle, education-first approach. They can help you roll your traditional IRA into a gold IRA or ship metals directly to your house. Go to legacypminvestments.com to download their free gold investing guide. I've read it, and there's so much valuable information there. Friends, now is not the time to roll the dice with your hard-earned money. Find out about the growth potential that gold offers you. Contact Legacy Precious Metals today and tell them I sent you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us today. A lot of anger building out there as word comes out. The Secret Service is now meeting with New York officials to discuss how to handle President Trump in prison should he be found guilty. So those meetings are underway. That's according to CBS News. We had a caller, Jerry from Arkansas, who said we need to be taking to the streets. Do you agree with that? Should Trump supporters be taking to the streets? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, look, I'm not sure if you've heard this, but President Trump, big fan of Newsmax. And why wouldn't he be? Newsmax is the only network that actually carries all of his speeches. And they're great speeches, by the way. You've got to get NewsmaxPlus.com. That's right, NewsmaxPlus.com, the incredible streaming service with all the top Newsmax shows, Rob Schmidt, Greta Van Susteren, Greg Kelly, and you'll be able to watch Newsmax, too. You'll be able to watch my show, the Todd Stern Show, every day, Monday through Friday, at 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax, too. You're going to get great analysis from folks like Mike Huckabee, Dick Morris. Newsmax Plus covers all the major Trump rallies and the news events, and especially the ones that Fox News will not touch. Millions of people are watching Newsmax, so go to NewsmaxPlus.com today to sign up. That's NewsmaxPlus.com. And by the way, that reception Trump got at the NASCAR Speedway, at Charlotte Motor Speedway, unbelievable. And by the way, the fact that Trump, he wasn't just going into the big boxes. Trump was actually out there meeting the people. At one point, he was over in on pit row, hanging out with the pit crews. You got to love this guy. I'm telling you, folks, Donald Trump is the real deal. And the Democrats are terrified of this. They're just terrified of this guy. So, look, we're going to be taking your calls coming up. We've got to take a quick break for the news. When we come back, we will be taking your calls, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Now, a lot of new listeners out there, and we picked up most of them from our big event over in North Carolina. We would love for you to head over to our website, toddstearns.com, and check out some of the great resources we have. Our free newsletter, sign up, get yourself onto the newsletter. Folks, it's just unbelievable how many people are now signing up for our daily newsletter. Also, our podcast. Over a million subscribers now, and we want you to be one of them. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour two coming up. Your calls kicking off the next hour. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yeah, well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So happy to have you with us today. Again, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Be sure to join us tonight, 5 o'clock, by the way, on Newsmax 2. We have a massive show coming up. Also, we're going to be talking to Team Trump. We're going to have live reports from outside the courthouse today as final arguments are underway, closing arguments in the case of Donald J. Trump. As promised, I wanted to go to the phone lines here. We have folks wanting to weigh in. 901-260-5926. Donna in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Donna. What's going on?
Well, I'm very upset and very mad that illegals come over here and they break every law that we have, and they're walking the streets free, and then they most perfect patriot we've ever known is going to be locked up in jail and sitting in courtrooms. Everybody in this country should be out marching about this because it's just not right.
No, it's not right, Donna. It's repulsive. And, you know, Jerry from Arkansas really got me to thinking, and maybe that is the solution here, is that the silent majority, we need to be taking to the streets. We need to be gathering on the lawns of our courthouses, and we need to be just as loud and as vocal as these leftists have been.
I totally agree with that.
All right, Donna, appreciate that call. And Donna is angry, and I suspect a lot of you are angry as well, because people are just fed up and they see it. I mean, the fact is that you've got folks out there who have committed murder that are already walking the streets because of these George Soros district attorneys. And Donald Trump is going to face a greater punishment than those people. It makes no sense. But make no mistake about it, the only reason Donald Trump is in that courthouse is because of crooked Joe Biden. It really is that simple. All right, I want to turn our attention, as we're waiting to get reports out of the courthouse in Lower Manhattan, I want to direct your attention to another story. Our good friend Judge Judy is weighing in on Generation Z, and she says that, you know, and the question is, has Generation Z gotten a bad rap, specifically about how they behave in the workplace? And Judge Judy had this to say, cut number 9.
Oh, do I think they're getting a bad rap? I don't know whether they're getting a bad rap. They grew up with a different philosophy, and they are products of the philosophy of everybody gets a trophy. I grew up, and that's not the greatest generation, but when I grew up, you ran a race. You came in first, you got a trophy. Sometimes you even got a second place prize. Even the Olympics have 3 prizes. But if there are 20 people in a race and everybody gets a trophy, you get a trophy for first, second, third, fourth, most congenial, best outfit, best sportsmanship, most personality, best joke. So everybody gets a trophy. And you grew up with that group of kids, I think, grew up with parents who mistakenly wanted to be their friend more than a parent. And it may be that they were busy working households and both their ABCs and their morality and were taught in school, which to me is a big mistake. You're supposed to learn good things at home and ABCs in school. Not easy. This is not my world. So do I think they've been getting a bad rap? You only get a bad rap if you deserve it. You only get a bad rep if you deserve it. If you have a bunch of kids entering the workforce that say, I don't like to work past 4 o'clock. I don't work on Saturday. Sunday is football. Well, you want to be successful in what you do. You're supposed to be first in the morning and close up shop. Somebody will notice that. If you're the one taking a snooze and sitting on Facebook all day and then looking at your watch until it's 4:05 so you can check out, somebody's going to watch that too. So do I think that they're getting a bad rap? You only get a bad rap if you deserve it.
All right, that's Judge Judy throwing down some knowledge on the peoples. This is fascinating. And this is a big deal, though, in the workforce. Forbes magazine did a big study, and they said they're interviewing a lot of business owners, managers, and they say they can't handle their Gen Z employees, that they're too needy, they're always on social media, you know, they need them to do work, and they're not able to do the work because they're on the Instagram or the Facebook or the TikTok all the time. And I remember back when I was starting out, and I was, you know, my dad just raised me, I guess, right, because I knew that if I was going to work, I had a job to do. And if I didn't do that job, I was not going to get paid. I'd get fired. So you go in there and you bust your butt. You're the first. You try to get there if you're, you know, and again, maybe I'm old school, but I believe you should always go above and beyond. But these days, this generation has been raised, and I don't want to say everybody in the generation, but a good many in this generation have been raised thinking they deserve everything handed to them on a silver platter. I blame you, Mom and Dad, for that. They didn't come up with that. Somebody instilled that value, that faulty value in their life. But then you turn around and there are other kids out there in Gen Z. But again, I am saying there's enough of you Gen Zers out there that are behaving like this, that are giving people pause. And I will say this, you know, you show up here and you hand me a resume and you've got your pronouns on there. See you later. We're good. We need people at this company that already know their pronouns. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Ocala, Florida. Rose, hanging out with us on WOCA today. Hi, Rose. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm concerned about us taking to the street because of what happened at June 6th.
Oh, J6 at the Capitol?
Soros will be bringing his thugs into this protest, and it's a protest and starting trouble, and you know what's going to happen.
So you're afraid that
the Americans? Yes.
Go ahead, Rose.
No, the Americans will take the blame. The people that are doing the honest, right thing peacefully, and he'll bring in his thugs, and then the whole. I'm sorry, I'm nervous.
No, you're doing fine, Rose. You're doing well. So you're concerned, though, that just like on J6, when the FBI plotted and planned the attack on the Capitol, that the FBI could infiltrate some of these protest groups and cause mayhem.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think yes, that, I look, do. I think that's
you
a fair concern.
Will.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, they will. I think we should just sit back and all vote and get Trump elected.
So, Rose, your call to action is to go and vote on Election Day. Let that be your protest.
Yes.
Rose, I think you did a phenomenal job, and it's a great opinion. And I think many others share your opinion, Rose. And I thank you for calling. Let's go to Charlie, WTJS in West Tennessee. All right, Charlie, you just heard Rose there. She said, don't go marching in the streets. Go vote on Election Day. What say you?
I'd say the same thing. It would be the worst thing we could do. Because, like she said, you know, the J6ers, that at best was a small riot. They call it an insurrection. They denied those people civil rights. What do you think they would do to us if we got out in the street? We would be called rebels. It would be called a civil war. They would call out the military. I truly believe this. This is what they're praying for, hoping for. The one picture of a Trumper with a gun or hitting a black counter-protester, anything like that. That call from the guy in Arkansas kind of scared me a little bit. Stay off the street. There's a, you know, I've read, I majored in history in college. I read tons of history, tons of social history, and there's ways to protest. There's things. Get out your spray can. This is a criminal act. I shouldn't be saying this. But spray Trump, martyr, on anything that's not moving.
Charlie, let me ask you a question. Let's fast forward to Election Day, and Trump loses, or at least that's what the numbers look like, that the Democrats go in and they steal another election. How do you think the Trump supporters, and how do you think all of the people who voted for Trump, how do you think they should react if that happens?
You know, we have to think about it. Well, think about this. The Democrats have won the popular vote in the past 7 of 8 presidential elections. One thing we conservatives, Trumpers, have forgot is, or don't see, is this country is liberal. This country has to be convinced that the old way is the right way.
You see, Charlie, I just don't think it is. I don't think the country is as liberal as you may think. And I hear where you're going with this. My concern is that conservatives just aren't going to vote. But again, when you look at where we are in this country right now, you look at the polling data, you look at the big Trump rallies, and we go into Election Day, and at the end of the night, the networks announce that Biden has won again. I'm not sure anybody's going to be able to control what happens next.
Well, part of the thing is, Todd, I really think we've got to find our voice. You know, social media, the news media, entertainment industry, they're all one way. And when we hear that, we think that something must be wrong with us because we believe something else. And that's the way a totalitarian state suppresses the people. That's one of the things you do. You make everybody believe that if they are believe something, they're out of sorts. Now, if the Americans ever find their voice, if they ever get brave enough to say, no, I believe this, if they resist on a local level, on their school boards, and in city governments, state governments, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a huge difference.
Well, Charlie, look, we're going to have to leave it there. I appreciate your thoughts, and I hear your concern, but maybe I'm off base here, folks, but we come out of the November elections, and the media announces that Joe Biden is the winner again. I don't know about that. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We have Sunny in Ocala, Florida coming up, John in North Carolina, Richard in Tennessee. Hang tight, everybody. We're just getting started. Wow. All right. right. It's one of those days. A lot going on here. But let's get right back to the phones. 901-260-5926. And let's go to John in North Carolina. John, great to have you on the show. And loved Statesville, North Carolina.
We're glad to have you in the state, Todd. I had the privilege of going to a dinner at the Library of Congress a few weeks back, and I was watching the Capitol Police check us in, and I was paying attention to the big magnetic doors that allowed us to come into that facility. And I've written Director Ray, and I've written Jim Jordan, and I've written my Congressman Tom Tillis, and my question has never been answered, and I can't find anybody to answer. I thought you might help me. The question is, on January 6th, who opened those Capitol doors, because they have to be open from the inside, and who gave the order to do it? And we could get rid of a lot of this silly nonsense and conspiracy theorist ideas if we could find out who the real perpetrators are that allowed January 6th to happen from inside that Capitol.
Yeah, John,
find that out for me.
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are a lot of questions I have about what happened on that day. Still, we do not know how many FBI agents were involved in the planning and execution of what went down. We know that they were there, but they refused to release that information. I mean, John, when you're right. There were people in that crowd that were yahoos. There were people in that crowd that broke the law. But when you have individuals that are opening up, and when you have law enforcement that's literally moving aside barricades and opening up doors that otherwise would not be open to the public and inviting those people in, that is not a crime. That is not a riot.
That's facilitation.
And yes, it is, John. And by the way, a lot of people, they don't understand nuance, or nobody wants to talk about nuance. But look at what happened when with the crowd inside the Capitol. Everyone was, by and large, was the mob, the crowd was well behaved, right? They didn't go crazy inside that building. Several did, but by and large, they did not. The reason why there was chaos outside is because law enforcement fired those tear gas canisters on the peaceful protesters, and that's what sparked all of this.
That is correct. I just want to know who opened the doors and who gave the order.
Great questions, John. And if nothing else, I was sort of hoping that the Republicans would at least get to the bottom of those kinds of questions while they still had the majority. John, I'm going to take your question directly to some of our contacts up on Capitol Hill. I'll see if we can't get an answer for you.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's John in North Carolina. Real quick, let's go to Sonny in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. Hi, Sonny. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind is January 6th. President Trump is the commander-in-chief, was overrode or denied National Guard in Washington because of a Democrat law stating the president cannot call out the National Guard for the Capitol District. It was Pelosi and Bowser who enacted that deal and denied our president the use of the National Guard. Pelosi and Bowser are in charge of the Capitol District, and they are the people that should be gone after.
Sonny, it's a great point, and yes, it is true. Trump offered National Guard troops, and it was denied. Denied. Sonny, gotta run. 901-260-5926. Hang tight. We're coming right back with your calls. All right. Welcome back, everybody. So we are waiting for the next shoe to drop. We understand that New York City officials have been in touch with the Secret Service over what to do if President Trump is found guilty. They are already working through the process of taking President Trump into custody. And folks, there will be a very real, a very raw and visceral reaction to that when it happens. And that is all normal. But it's really puzzling a lot of people. And they're confused over how we should respond to all of this, Because what we are watching, and really a lot of that is going to come from Donald Trump himself. You know, he is going to make a suggestion. I mean, he could say, you know, I want all of you folks to go home, stay off the streets and go and vote on Election Day. Or he could say, you know what, it's time for us to march in the streets. Either way, the president, I think, is absolutely right. I mean, at some point, right, at some point, you have to be willing to say enough is enough. This is the line in the sand and you have crossed it. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Richard in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Hi, Richard. What's on your mind today?
No, good afternoon, Todd. And I would like to go back to the last election that was in Cordova before I moved in here to Murfreesboro. And that was in September of last year, if I remember correctly. That was the first election I can recall in years when they made the option to hand mark a paper ballot available. Now, you could still use the machine if you chose, but I chose to use the hand marked ballot. Why? Because I could. And let's take a little journey back in time, and this would be to the Iraq War and the post-war period when the Iraqi people voted. If you recall, there were photos of Iraqis coming out of their voting booths.
With the fingers.
And no. Oh, well, yeah, fingers. They had the purple thumb. And my question, therefore, becomes, if the purple thumb was good enough for them, why isn't it good enough for us? It can't be hijacked, can't be altered. It's not electronic. It has a lot of pluses and very few, if any, minuses.
And you just answered your question, Richard, because it's next to impossible to steal an election if you do something like that.
You got the point, yes. And that's the reason that we need to go back to it. And I don't understand why we can't just ban the use of electronic voting machines nationwide.
I know when I went to go cast my vote, we had an election whenever it was, and I went to go vote, and I asked for a paper ballot. And they gave it to me. It was almost like a little begrudging, like, all right. But you know what? That's how I roll. I don't trust the electronic machines. I just don't.
I don't either. And I have to give it to the people because this was the polling station at what used to be the Shakespeare building on Trinity. They were absolutely great. They were very helpful.
Good.
If I wanted a paper ballot as opposed to using the machine, they were excellent. They just went and got it and handed it to you and collected it when you finished. I couldn't ask them to have done any more.
All right. Well, Richard, God bless you for that. Appreciate the intel. And Richard is right, paper ballots. I do like his idea. You know, if it's good enough for the Iraqis, why can't we do it? Let's go to Arkansas. David, listening to us on KWAM, our flagship station. Hi, David. What say you?
Hello, sir. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
Listen, I've listened to some of these callers, and they say, well, let's go vote, and that'll show them this, that, and the other. Well, what they don't seem to grasp or understand is your vote don't count anymore because the Democrats are going to steal the election one way or the other. And their ultimate goal is to make this a dictatorship, and they're working very hard at it. I mean, I'm not for going to war, civil war. I'm not for it, but I don't see any way out of it, to be honest with you, because the judicial system is so corrupt these days. The political system is corrupt. So, you know, you have the soapbox, the ballot box is ultimately the cartridge box. And I don't see any other way around it. You know, the J6 people, you know, they walked into sort of a trap and they didn't realize that the government was capable of doing such barbaric tactics, but now that we know what they're capable of doing, I think we'll be a lot smarter. And one thing about it is they can't put everybody in jail. And, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, it may get rough. And I know a lot of people don't like that. They're scared of it. But, you know, you have to think back to the revolutionary times. Those people went through the same thing. You know, I mean, they were fighting the king, and he had people, he had his troops in their houses, and they still stood up and fought. You know, and maybe what winds up having to happen.
It's becoming, it's unraveling, David, is what's happening. Our country is unraveling. And one of the bigger problems I see is that this idea of diversity for the sake of diversity divides. But there is no unity in that. So my concern is that it's not what's going to happen with Trump going to jail. I think that's baked into the cake already. But I'm wondering if people are truly prepared for what happens if they announce on election night that Joe Biden wins in another historic record-breaking landslide. Will the people accept that? Or will they at that point take to the streets? And I'm not too sure they are going to take to the streets, David. I think that they have conditioned the people to surrender their constitutional rights one by one. And I think that's what's going to, I don't think that the communists are going to have to raise a single weapon to take over this country, because the people have been conditioned not to do anything except stay at home and suck it up and take it.
Berkshire's, they predicted this back in the 60s, you know, that this was coming. And, here in Arkansas, we just recently had a incident where the federal government come in and imposed their will on a gentleman and killed him. And
you're talking about, you're talking about the manager of the airport there in Little Rock.
Airport, yeah.
Mike Huckabee's been all over that story.
Yeah. And, you know, that was done to send a message, and it was meant to scare the people. That, hey, you know, this can happen to you if you don't do what we tell you to do. And that's why, you know, the last two callers for these two here, they parroted the same mindset. You know, we don't want to make them mad. We'll just go vote. Well, voting don't work anymore. It hasn't worked in several years. And, you know, I regret it. I wish it wasn't that way, but, you know, I think it's going to be a time that people are either going to have to stand up or sit down, one or the other.
All right. David, appreciate that call. David says we got to take to the streets, folks. What say you? 901-260-5926. Let's go to Jeff in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Jeff. What say you?
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my phone call, sir.
Sure.
So I would like to piggyback off the last statement you had said with a gentleman from Arkansas. My concern is, not what happens if Trump doesn't win. What happens if Trump does win, and what will happen then to this country and the civil unrest that will then ensue, whether it be Antifa, BLM, whatever proxy organization then takes to the street. I don't see any peaceful way out after November, essentially. So I was just curious on your opinion of that.
Yeah, so, you know, that happened in 2020, in 2016, and we saw Antifa rise up and cause chaos across the country. I suspect that will happen. The media will try to spin it, but that's exactly what will happen. But again, if people want to protest, and going back to 2020, another big problem was that a lot of conservatives and a lot of pro-Trump conservatives did not go out to vote because they said, well, the whole voting system is rigged. Well, the problem is that not enough people were going out on our side to vote. And that is still a problem today. So if everybody would just get off their hindquarters and get out to vote, I think that we would be able to produce the numbers necessary to prevent the Democrats from stealing, I think.
Right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Todd.
Jeff, appreciate that call. All right, we got to take a quick break here, going right back to the phones, 901-260-5926. And again, Shanklin reminded us that in 2020, Rush Limbaugh actually predicted the Democrats would try to cheat, but the only way that it would work was in states that were close. So if you want to protest, be sure and vote. If you're in any state that's close, and we know where they are, and all you folks in Georgia, that is one of the states that we have to pay very close attention to. The Second Amendment under attack, ladies and gentlemen. But the good news is you can actually protect your gun rights just by using your cell phone. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they always support the Second Amendment, and that's why I am proud to partner with these guys. Patriot Mobile has dependable nationwide coverage. They give you access to all three major networks. That means you get the same coverage you're accustomed to without funding gun control. In other words, when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're going to be supporting the National Association for Gun Rights, USA Shooting, Women for Gun Rights, many other organizations. They make it super simple to switch over. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. Now, will you be able to keep your phone? Yep. Will I be able to keep my number? Yes, you will. PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. Use that code, Todd. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to check in. There's a high school graduate denied his diploma because he mentioned Jesus Christ in his graduation address. So we'll be telling you about that story. And we're gonna play the address coming up. Let's get right back to the phones here. Elaine in Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our great affiliate there. Hi, Elaine. What's on your mind?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay, great. I think we should take to the streets. I work, so go before work, after work, during lunch, and just carry signs that say silent majority and not say a word. Maybe on the other side of the sign say, don't tread on us or something, but then that might be too provocative.
Well, so I like that, Elaine.
A silent majority march.
You know, that worked for MLK back in the 1960s where you had the nonviolent demonstrations, and that radically changed, you know, the course of American history through the civil rights movement.
Right. And then I didn't know that. And then if anybody tries to provoke us physically, we silently get away from them. I don't know how.
I will say this. I know the good book says turn the other cheek, but if they hit that one, all bets are off. So I'm just saying.
Then, you know, if we strike back, then the media will say that, you know, we were violent. And then we'll be arrested and put in the gulag.
Yeah, well, they may do that anyway, Elaine. I mean, going back in 2020 or 2016, you had the Bernie Sanders supporters and campaign staff saying that's exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted to round up all the Trump supporters and put us into re-education gulag. So, I mean, I see what you're saying. I just don't think that. I don't think that the media would be prepared for tens of thousands of Trump supporters taking to the streets. And to see them, you know, again, protest peacefully, I think that would send quite the message to the rest of the country. But I like your idea, the silent protest, Elaine. Well done. Good job. All right, let's go to Mark in Memphis, KWAM, our great station there. Hi, Mark. What say you?
Hey, Todd, thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just think we have to make it too big to rig. We have to show up in such numbers and have Trump elected in such a way that there's no way that they can rig the election.
I love that idea. Mark, you're right. I mean, and again, we've got the numbers. We just have to get out the vote. That's what we've got to do.
That's right. And Todd, also, during this debate, I think they ought to just give everybody the questions they're going to ask. Give everybody the questions, and that way we'll have the answers as well as the Democrats, because they always have the questions. So let's just give everybody the questions.
I love it. By the way, Mark, all of you heard this report. Biden actually, the campaign wanted Biden to be able to sit down for the entire debate. Trump said, nope, we're on our feet.
Well, you know, like some of my friends say, he does need to go and sit down somewhere.
Mark, I love it. All right, appreciate that call. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, look, it's the debate is the fix is in, right? But and Trump knows that. All right, he knows all of this. It's not that he's omnipotent, but he knows how the political machine works. But we're about to venture into some uncharted water. You know, the Democrats have wanted to jail Republican candidates for a long time. Remember, they wanted to charge George W. Bush with the war crimes. So this is really nothing new. The new part of it is they actually got some judges to go along with it. And you know what concerns me, folks? There are a lot more judges like Juan Merchan coming up through the ranks. And that's what we've got to keep an eye on. I believe truly the only reason I want Donald Trump in office is for judicial appointments. All right, let's go to Angie in Georgia, WDUN. Hi, Angie, what's up?
Hey, Todd, it's so good seeing you in Gainesville, and you are a brave soul. Between staying in Memphis and coming to Georgia, you deserve a medal. My question is, we did this in 2020, and I apologize for not being able to pronounce the name correctly, but this Raffensperger or whatever his weird name is,
yeah,
that is our electoral official.
Yeah, Raffensperger.
My question is, I followed that Fannie Willis trial to the T, and I would like to know if Atlanta and all of the state of Georgia have seriously that many criminals that would vote her back in as a DA to go against Trump, or was the election rigged?
That's a great question, Angie. And we'll, you know, it's certainly, if we have folks in the Atlanta area that are listening, we'll try to get them to weigh in. It very well may be the same situation that we had here in Memphis, where, you know, only, you know, less than 20% of the voting population actually got out and bothered to cast a vote. And, you know, if Fannie Willis can get out her supporters, she wins the day. So we'll find out, Angie. We'll check into that. And Angie, great seeing you and all of our great listeners in Gainesville. Folks, hang tight. Hour three of the big show coming up. 901-260-5926 is our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. Let's just jump right into this. So there is a high school senior at Campbell County High School, that's in Kentucky. So Campbell County High School in Kentucky. This young man's name is Micah Price. And all I can tell you is that this young man was raised right. So anyway, graduation, and this young man was invited to deliver the graduation address by the school. And he had to turn his graduation speech in to the principal so that they could censor his remarks. So anyway, the kid gets up there, and you're going to hear from him in just a moment. But the young man gets up there, and he delivers a speech. It's less than 4 minutes. Well done, sir. And right out of the gate, he gives glory and honor to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the only reason I'm not going to play the speech itself, the audio is not very good. So I'm going to share with you the part of the speech that got him in trouble. He encouraged people who don't know Jesus to learn more about Jesus. He is the light, he is the way, the truth, and the life. This is what Price said. Class, everyone in the audience today, I'm here to tell you that if you don't have any of those things in your life, you can't seem to find the answer. My Lord and Savior is your answer. He will give you the truth, the way, and the life. Well, there you go. So anyway, he was pulled aside after graduation and was told that he had veered off script. And as a result of that, and by the way, we've got all of this on our website, toddstearns.com. So they said, because you went off script, well, you're going to have to now go before the school board if you want to get your diploma. The superintendent told Local News 12, all speakers were told that going off their submitted speech or any unplanned choices at graduation may have repercussions as they would at any school function. And they said now he's got to go before the school board to get his diploma. I want to play some audio here. This young man, good kid, decided to respond to all of this on TikTok. Let's take a listen.
I just wanted to come on here and kind of clear the air on some things, because I feel like a lot of the stuff, just, I don't know, I feel like it would be best to just everything came from my mouth. One, Christ is King. I serve him, obviously. Two, currently, I do not have my diploma. I went through, obviously, don't got in here. And then everything that was in the envelope, which is just a bunch of old report cards and ACT reports. I even got this super cute picture of me, you know. But I don't have anything. I don't have a diploma. I'm not sure if everyone has theirs yet. So, you know, if you do, congrats. If you don't, we're right there with you. I don't have it. And I just want to clear the air. I was told beforehand I wasn't allowed to, you know, bring up Christ, that he is the way, truth, and life in my speech. I did it anyways. And after the speech was over, one of the principals came in, tapped me on the shoulder very politely and professionally told me that I was going to have to go in front of the board and explain what I did because I went off script. And I just want to say, no bad blood with Campbell County or the principals. They're doing their job. They're doing their job. And I ask that you guys would not go and bash them, because they're literally doing their job. If anyone's in the wrong, it's me. I went against school policy, school rules. I went against that because I serve a higher power, because I serve Christ. I do no one's bidding but God. All right. So if anyone's in the wrong, I am. I deserve to get punched. Also, just there's been a lot of people who are saying that when you go to stand from the board, we want to go there with you. If you're going to go with me and do whatever you got to do while you're standing from the board, I also just want to say, if you're going in support of Micah and you're going to protest the school, don't go. Just don't go. Stay home. But if you're going in defense of Christ and his kingdom, and in defense of his message and the gospel, please, I beg of you to go. But my message was not to be disrespectful. It was not to do anything except for express my love for Christ and how much he can change lives. But just to recap, don't get my diploma. I will have to go in front of the board, talk to them, explain to them why I did what I did. Christ is King. And if you're going to go and support me, like you guys have been saying you've been doing, please just go in support of Christ and not Micah.
All right. Well, there you go. And just it seems like a fine, upstanding young man. And he said, hey, look, this is on me. I knew the rules, but I felt really called to say X, Y, or Z. And then he got in trouble. Do you think he would have gotten in trouble if he had gotten up there and said, hello, my name is Micah Price, and my pronouns are he or whatever? No, I don't think he would have. Or if Micah would have gotten up there and given a BLM speech, you think he would have gotten in trouble? I don't think he would have. I think this school is trying to make an example of this kid. Now, I heard what he said, and he wants everybody to be nice and polite about it and don't protest the school. And that is his youthfulness talking, right? That is, I get it, but these people need to be called out. These people need to be held accountable for what they did to this kid. Now, I want you to write down a telephone number. This is the telephone number of the county school system in Campbell County, Kentucky. 859-635-2173. I'm going to read this again. 859-635-2173. And I hope you find time between now and this evening to pick up the phone and give that school a call and let them know what you think about a school system funded by your tax dollars censoring and punishing a good Christian young man. Now, I know that the school said, well, we have rules. Well, you know what? Here's my take on this, and I know this gets me in trouble with the conservative side, but if you work your butt off and you earn the right to deliver a speech, you should be able to deliver whatever kind of a speech you want to deliver. And well, you know, you can't have the bad words in there, but you know what I'm saying here. I got a problem when you've got school leaders that are up there with a big black magic marker marking through every reference to Jesus Christ in a speech. Poor speech looked like an NSA document, everything being redacted. So do you think this young man did the right thing, or did the school district do the right thing? And I want to know, why did they have a problem with Jesus Christ? That's what I want to know. What kind of godless heathens do they have in the school system in Campbell County, Kentucky? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. We got to take a break. We are watching developments in Lower Manhattan, the closing arguments in President Trump's hush money trial. We're going to keep you updated. Anything happens, we do not believe there is going to be jury deliberations today. We think that is going to start possibly as early as tomorrow. We'll let you know. It's a little fluid, but we'll see how things go. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's get you caught up on the Trump trial. They are now back from a lunch break. And the way it works in New York, the defense has to go first, then the prosecution wraps things up. And Trump is not happy about that. Meanwhile, the judge is going after the defense attorney. So this is insane. So the defense attorney wrapped up, we're talking about Todd Blanch here, wrapping up his closing arguments. And the judge interrupts and reprimands Trump's attorney. And why? So here's the reason why. So Trump's attorney is telling the jury, hey, look, folks, you need to be aware of something. You go down this path and you find this guy guilty, he could face prison time. And now the judge, how dare you? Who do you think you are? The judge says that you're not allowed to do that. And you're not allowed to consider whether or not potential punishment will impact your decision. Well, why not? It should. Anyway, all of this, it's all baked into the cake, right? It's barring a miracle. And if there is a miracle, we will celebrate and shout hallelujah tomorrow. But as it stands right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is, it's not looking good for Trump. It's not looking good for Trump. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. TransSec Booty Juice is in the headlines. That is our name for Transportation Secretary Pete Booty Juice. And the secretary, in some hot water, he was on the networks over the weekend. And the administration got $7.5 billion, that's billion with a B, of your tax money to build these EV charging stations. And these charging stations are supposed to be built all over America. And they're not. Cut 13.
The Federal Highway Administration says only 7 or 8 charging stations have been produced with a $7.5 billion investment that taxpayers made back in 2021. Why isn't that happening more quickly?
So the president's goal is to have 500,000 chargers up by the end of this decade. Now, in order to do a charger, it's more than just plunking a small device into the ground. There's utility work, and this is also really a new category of federal investment. But we've been working with each of the 50 states. Every one of them is getting formula dollars to do this work,
engaging them
in the first handful, again, by 2030, 500,000 chargers, and the very first handful of chargers are now already being physically built.
So where are the rest? I mean, Margaret Margaret Brennan there, she literally laughed in his face. Where are the rest? Why is it costing us $1 billion per charging station? By the way, I still do this. I love to, you know, again, it's they had the charging stations. There are more charging stations at Whole Foods than there are handicap parking spaces. And nobody's ever there because nobody, I don't think anybody actually has an EV in the Memphis area. I've never met anybody. Dylan, have you ever met anybody in the Memphis area that drives one of those battery-powered cars?
I was just about to tell you, and I was going to tell you this earlier, but I saw a Cybertruck for the first time in Memphis.
Really?
Yeah, that big rectangular vehicle.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that was the first one. I've seen a couple Teslas, but it doesn't surprise me that they're at Whole Foods.
And that's what they sound like. You know, it's kind of weird. Yeah, pretty much. Oh, that's good. Well, all that to say, I always park in the electric charging stations whenever I...
That's hilarious to me.
Nobody else is using it.
Nope.
May as well. I don't like having to haul my groceries. And you know the problem is they give you those bags that have been recycled with the little handbags.
Yeah.
And they always fall apart.
Always.
Always.
Got a double bag.
So I would much rather, but they charge you for that now, I think. So I would much rather park close and take my chances. I don't want the rutabagas bouncing across the sidewalk there. Nobody wants to see that. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I'm concerned about Blue Oval City, which is being built by Ford, not too far from Memphis, because the whole point of that is to create these electric-powered cars that nobody is buying. None whatsoever. All right. I want to play some audio. This is... yes, here we go. So CNN saying Donald Trump is showing up to places where Joe Biden is not. Cut number 14.
Look, I think going to the Libertarian Convention was smart. According to Gallup, they represent 17-20% of the American electorate. Maybe you shave off 8% of them. That can make a difference in a very, very tight presidential race. Regardless of the reasons, going to the Bronx, it's important. No one should be presumptive to assume that people of color are going to just vote one way purely because they're black or because they're Hispanic. That seems to be the case for my Democratic friends. And I think it's why a lot of people of color are looking at Joe Biden and they're realizing that my life is not better. When I go to the grocery store, things are expensive. The infrastructure in my surrounding community has not improved. And when I think about the future for my children, they're still in dilapidated schools where the educational system is deplorable. That's the Democratic message in my perspective. And so to have a Republican show up, whether he's being booed, jeered, whatever the case may be, he's showing up to places where Joe Biden is not, and I think that's going to make a difference.
I was flying back to Memphis on Sunday, and I was seated next to a guy. Oh, by the way, I was seated across from Alveda King, Dr. King's niece. Many of you know she's been a guest on the show. We were literally across the aisle from each other, and we had a great conversation, helped her with her luggage, trying to be neighborly. Anyway, there's a guy seated next to me. He had the window seat. Thank God. Don't want to get sucked out of those 737s. This guy was sitting there, and he's a black businessman, and he's in the construction business. He goes in and builds homes, and he builds homes not for first-time home buyers, but for those second-time home buyers, right? So it's kind of the middle market. And he was telling me flat out that he struck up a political conversation. I never like doing that on an airplane because you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, the guy asked, and so I felt obligated to answer. And I told him, I'm a Trump supporter. He says, yeah, me too. And I'm like, really? You're a big Trump supporter? You go, oh, yeah. He says, you know, that he's conservative. And he says, most people misunderstand this about the black constituency out there is that they are probably more conservative than the white liberals who are Democrat. I believe that. But it was a fascinating conversation, and I think this guy is going to be voting for Donald Trump in the fall. All right, let's go to Pat in Oregon, KYKN, our great station out there. Hi, Pat.
Hello. Well, I might have an idea of why a lot of the Christians are not voting. You know, they sit back in church and they're good Christians, and I'm a Christian, but I vote. And I think one reason why is because they know God is in control, and I certainly do believe that, and he can do all kinds of things. But I think God expects us to do things, too. He's given us a brain that we ought to be able to use. And I think he wants us to take part in these cultural type things where we can have a vote and can have a say-so. He wants us to look at the candidates that are going to be applying for positions. He wants us to look at that voting pamphlet. And he wants us to take part and to pray about whom we should be voting for. But we need to take part.
Yeah, I don't buy into this argument, Pat, that, well, you know, God's in control, so I'm just going to sit back and see what happens. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where that's we're supposed to do that.
No, I think if Jesus were here, he would be voting.
I'm with you 1,000%, Pat. Wow. Okay. Hey, Pat, what's up? I hear people are, a couple of counties looking to secede from Oregon.
Well, yes, I think they've got a good reason. I'm in the Salem area, so, you know.
You're not going anywhere, Pat.
They don't, they don't understand the people who are farming and all that kind of stuff.
No doubt about it. All right, yeah, the folks up at the state capitol there in Oregon are shoveling a whole different kind of fertilizer. All right, Pat, got a skedaddle. Good hearing from you. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This is James Carville. Now listen, nobody's listening to me and my party. And you're going to have to reach out to them the best you can because everything's gone crazy out there. Now I'm going to try to control my mouth and try to say something while I'm not cussing everybody. But you know what? It just drives me nuts out there. But listen here, they won't listen to me. They're going to have to listen to you telling them about me. Telling them to get off the stick on this thing because they're out of their cotton picking minds. Now I know I had some oatmeal on my mouth when I was on the internet the other day. That don't matter. I'm retired. It's not that I didn't know. I just didn't care. Tell them to get off Gaza, quit hugging up to the Iranians. Get on this economy because it's the economy, stupid. And I mean stupid. Inflation's too high. We don't care about that. We care about somebody who went in and tried to kill everybody. We want to hug up to Hamas and worry about what's going to happen to them. Spread the word, Todd. Spread the gospel. Because my people are crazy and they won't listen to me. This has been James Carville. Over now.
Thank you very much. Carville, he is fired up today, and he's just about had it with the Democrats and raising holy you-know-what on the interwebs as he tries to figure out what the Democrats are doing. Folks, the Democrats at the higher upper echelons are panicking about Joe Biden, and there is some polling data out there that actually – they wanted to know what happens if Kamala is running against Trump in the top spot, and it's even worse. So you mark my words, the change is coming, and it will more than likely happen at the DNC meeting in Chicago. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. There's a brand new book out today called Justify This, A Career Without Compromise, again, out today on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, the author of that incredible book, Nick Searcy. Nick, hope you're doing well today.
Todd, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Well, absolutely. And Nick, let's just jump right into this. Tell us what your new book is about.
Well, it's about my favorite subject, me. It's basically a biography. A lot of people have been asking me, you know, how I became an actor, why I became an actor. And the question I most often get asked is how I've been able to stay an actor, even though I wasn't part of the dominant political structure in Hollywood.
All right. Let's put Nick on hold for just a moment here. Nick, we're going to try to get this worked out. We've got a super bad phone connection. Dylan, we'll try to get that worked out, or we'll try to get Nick on tomorrow. So, again, my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, but the brand new book is out. It's called Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. Nick is best known as a as an actor in FX's Justified, and he was also a fill-in host for our beloved colleague, Rush Limbaugh. So, Nick, it's a fascinating story, and I would love for you to get yourself a copy of it, and we'll try to figure out the phone situation and try to get Nick back on tomorrow. But again, the name of the book, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise, and his story, it reads like Hollywood fiction. He went off to find fame and fortune in Hollywood, but he was able to stay true to his convictions in spite of all of that. And the book covers his career in Hollywood, his time in D.C. He was there on J6, and it's a fascinating, fascinating read. So again, the name of the book, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise, written by Nick Searcy. Again, Justify This, A Career Without Compromise. You can get it wherever you find your books, and it's officially in bookstores right now. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to go back to a story we were talking about earlier. Judge Judy is out there, and she was asked to weigh in on Gen Zers and whether or not the criticism about Generation Z was deserved. And the argument is, and there's a lot of it out there, people, especially business owners, are very upset over this particular generation of kids, what, 97 to 2012. So if you're born in that, between those years, you're Gen Z. 74% of managers and business leaders say Gen Z employees are harder to work with. Forbes magazine cites, among other things, the lack of effort, the lack of motivation, and the lack of productivity. Not to mention that many kids in that generation still can't even determine their preferred pronouns. That's troubling. Makes it difficult if you're going to the bathroom. So anyway, Judge Judy was asked about all of this, and here's what Judge Judy had to say.
Oh, do I think they're getting a bad rap? I don't know whether they're getting a bad rap. They grew up with a different philosophy, and they are products of the philosophy of everybody gets a trophy. I grew up, and that's not the greatest generation. But when I grew up, you ran a race, you came in first, you got a trophy. Sometimes you even got a second place prize. Even the Olympics have three prizes. But if there are 20 people in a race and everybody gets a trophy, you get a trophy for first, second, third, fourth, most congenial, best outfit, best sportsmanship, most personality, best joke. So everybody gets a trophy. And you grew up with that group of kids, I think, grew up with parents who mistakenly wanted to be their friend more than a parent. And it may be that they were busy working households and their both their ABCs and their morality and were taught in school, which to me is a big mistake. You're supposed to learn good things at home and ABCs in school. Not easy. This is not my world. So do I think they've been getting a bad rap? You only get a bad rap if you deserve it. You only get a bad rap if you deserve it. If you have a bunch of kids entering the workforce that say, I don't like to work past 4 o'clock. I don't work on Saturday. Sunday is football. Well, you want to be successful in what you do. You're supposed to be first in the morning and close up shop. Somebody will notice that. If you're the one taking a snooze and sitting on Facebook all day and then looking at your watch until it's 5 minutes to 4 so you can check out, somebody's going to watch that too. So do I think that they're getting a bad rap? You only get a bad rap if you deserve it.
Well, there you go. I remember my first newspaper job. You know, a lot of kids these days, they come into the newsrooms, I want to be the next Walter Cronkite. Put me on the air right now. And that's the way it is. No, that is not the way it is. As a matter of fact, it was years before I was, you know, getting bylines and doing those things and getting my name in the paper. It took a long time. I remember my very first newspaper job when I was in high school. And I was, my job was to clean out the wax machines. You know, back in the day, you had to paste up the pages of the newspaper by hand, by manually. It's a lot of work. And I was, my job was to clean. I was basically the janitor of our local newspaper. Had to clean up that goop stuff in the wax machines. A lot of work. Not very fun. And then that was when I was like in, freshman in high school. And then I think by the time I was a junior and my mom, I got to cover the school board meetings. I was very excited about it. That was my very first assignment. To cover the school board, my mom had to drive me to my newspaper assignments, and then I got my driver's license. So my birthday was in one of those odd years, odd months. So I was always the youngest person in the class. I was always the last person to get anything. But all that to say is that I worked my butt off, and I didn't expect a handout from anybody. And I'm wondering, are you experiencing what Judge Judy was talking about with Gen Z? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Uh-oh. Well, there's big trouble in Gaza. Remember that pier that Crazy Uncle Joe was going to build? $320 million of our taxpayer money, and it's now gone. The Pentagon has now acknowledged that what is left of the pier is sinking. I say what is left because over the weekend, a giant chunk of the pier just broke apart. CNN says the temporary pier was meant to transport aid. By the way, all of the aid that was delivered went to Hamas and not the Gazans. Part of the pier, which consists of a narrow causeway, disconnected on Sunday. They say that the parking area is going to have to be reconnected to the causeway before the pier can be used again. They're blaming heavy seas for whatever happened. I'd be interested to know how many DEI hires were involved in the construction of the Gaza pier. How many people were actually hired, not because of their ability to design and engineer a pier, but they were hired because of diversity, equity, and inclusion policies? Now, I'm not sure of the veracity of this audio that I'm about to share with you, but this is... This is Carl from the Pentagon talking about the Gaza Pier. I just think it's fabulous. Fabulous. It's the most wonderful thing I've ever designed in my life. It just looks gorgeous. All right. Thank you, Carl from the Pentagon. Dylan, get on that and let's just verify. We'll make sure nobody's pranking us here on the Todd Starnes radio program. That's be a terrible thing if that happened. We'll keep you updated on those developments. Jason Kelce is catching some flack. He was, cut number three.
See, my wife, she was, I think, a little bit frustrated with some of the comments. Initially, I said, listen, you're going to need to go back in the kitchen and make me a sandwich. I'm listening to the game right now.
Wow.
We were doing so good. We were killing it.
Okay.
We were killing it.
I hope she didn't hear that.
You're ridiculous. Mm. She's going to use the sword before this episode.
All right. By the way, they're talking about Harrison Butker. You know, By the way, he was in Nashville over the long weekend and said in a speech that he's standing by every single thing he said. And good for you, sir. Good for you. Everybody seems to be standing alongside of him who needs to. In the meantime, oh, can we talk about this? Ben Dieter shared this info earlier today on KWAM. Lizzo is enraged because South Park is roasting her, which honestly it should be like a badge of honor, right, Dylan? I mean, if South Park is coming after you, you've done something good.
I agree there.
Remember, you may not remember this. There was a guy named Triumph, the insult comic dog. He was on Conan O'Brien's show back in the day. And that was like, you always wanted to get roasted by Triumph. And so anyway, I got roasted by Triumph at the DNC. And it was pretty good. The dog was spot on. He took one look at me and he said, now he understood where the Iraqis hid the weapons of mass destruction. So it's very clever. Stupid dog. Anyway, here's Lizzo reacting in real time to South Park roasting her. Cut five.
Here we go.
I'm telling you, Sheila, these new drugs are pretty amazing. I was feeling so ashamed of myself, watching Randy go out and exercise all the time and not eating as much. But I just don't have the same kind of willpower he has.
Which of the drugs are you on, Sharon? Ozempic, Mounjaro?
Oh, no, I talked to my doctor. He said insurance would only pay for those if I had diabetes.
But if you can't afford them, then how are you managing your weight?
Don't you know, Sheila? Now there's a whole new obesity drug for those of us who can't afford Ozempic and Mounjaro. I've controlled all my cravings to be thinner with Lizzo.
It's Lizzo. FDA-approved Lizzo makes you feel good about your weight, and it costs 90% less than Ozempic.
I've lowered my standards and my expectations.
It's Lizzo.
In case studies, 70% of patients on Lizzo no longer care how much they weigh.
I don't give two.
Oh, it's Lizzo.
Lizzo helps you eat everything you want and keep physical activity to a minimum. Some patients report constipation while listening to Lizzo. Stop listening to Lizzo if you experience suicidal thoughts. Serious side effects may include pancreatitis, hypothermia,
what the f- album?
Out your ear. Are you living with concerns of obesity?
Ask about the power of not giving a f- with Lizzo.
Dear. Yeah, Lizzo.
That's crazy.
Lizzo not very happy about that at all. By the way, have you heard about this with Ozempic, the weight loss medicine? And apparently it makes you look like some sort of a creature from the Black Lagoon. Dylan, have you heard about this?
This is news to me, Todd.
So this is from Medical News Today. And if you take Ozempic, one of the side effects is your face. And the actual headline is what to know about. They actually have a word for it. They call it Ozempic face. And so if you're taking these drugs, it can cause sagging and aging of facial skin. And they actually have a photograph here of, or sort of an illustration here, that before you take Ozempic, you know, you look normal, a little pudgy, but normal. But then when you start taking Ozempic, you start seeing increased signs of aging, such as more lines and wrinkles. The loss of fat can lead the skin to become loose and saggy. And you can have an overall hollowed out appearance. This is terrible. That's like the sides of the face up here near your, you know, near the temple. And it just kind of like, it looks like you've been hollowed out. I don't find that to be particularly attractive. I'm just going to say that. Anyway, I was at the airport, and, you know, you're just trying to strike up a casual conversation with somebody, and you're sitting around, and I was reading this story over the weekend, and I'm just sort of like people watching in the airport in Atlanta for my layover. And all I could think of was, man, there are a lot of people with those that are taking Ozempic, right? I thought the lady sitting next to me was taking Ozempic, but she apparently is just old and has a hollowed-out appearance naturally, so... Oopsie, my bad. All right, that's going to do it. Tomorrow, we're going to be getting right back into the Trump trial. Tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern. Be sure to watch the big show on Newsmax. Have a great one, everybody. You be good, America.